Okay, Rabbi Shai, let's try to learn a little something of Hashem's Torah. The beginning of the sixth reading of Parshas Vayechi.
Sixth reading?
Yeah. Tells us about the last bracha. The last of the 12 tribes. Binyamin ze'ev yitrif. Binyamin is a praying wolf. Baboyker yechol ad. Ula'erev yichalek shalom. In the morning, he eats. In the evening, he divides. This is chapter 42, verse 27. Binyamin ze'ev yitrif. Binyamin is a praying wolf. Incidentally, the name Binyamin ze'ev comes from this, right? Because it's straight out of the Torah, Binyamin ze'ev. And from there, you ended up with people who have just the name ze'ev, which is rather strange. Name somebody a wolf. It's interesting, nobody's ever been named horse or donkey. Or dog. But we have a lot of wolves. So there must be some kind of virtue, some kind of mila in the concept of a wolf. And the question, of course, is what is that? So today we're going to learn about the wolf of Torah Street. Ze'ev hu asher yitrif. It doesn't mean Binyamin is going to tear the wolf. Binyamin ze'ev yitrif. Binyamin will pray or tear the wolf. It means ze'ev hu. He is a wolf. He is a wolf. Asher yitrif who prays. So, Niba, here, Yaakov Avinu speaks with prophetic intuition. Because Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin, is destined to be grabbers. As it says, V'chataftem lochem ish ishtei. Each one will grab a wife for himself. And this is B'Pilegesh B'Giva, in the story of Pilegesh B'Giva. So this is a very tragic event in the history of our people, that there was a group of wild hooligans from Binyamin who killed a woman who had stayed in somebody's home. And as a result of this, the other tribes of Israel attacked the tribe of Binyamin, and they decreed that nobody would marry into the Binyaminite clan. So this group of hooligans brought disrepute to the entire tribe. At a certain point, the tribe of Binyamin began to wane because there was nobody to marry. I guess they had more men and less women. At a certain point, it reached a situation where they thought that the tribe of Binyamin would fade into oblivion, would cease to exist. So they said kind of something like, okay, do what you got to do. We're not going to sanction this. We're not going to license this. Do what you got to do. And Binyamin, the Benjaminite men, they grabbed wives, so to speak. In other words, they didn't live according to the book. They seized the moment. The Niba and Yaakov further prophesized, Al Shaul, with regard to King Saul, Sheyia neitzeach ba'ayvav saviv, that he would be victorious against his enemies, round and round. Shenemar, it says, V'shaul lokad hamlucha. Shaul captured and established the monarchy. Vayelochim saviv, he battled in the entire area, the circumference around him, the Moav, the people of Moab. The pasuk talks about Ammon, uve Edom, and in the Edomites. Ubechol hashayifnei Arshia, wherever Shlomo, when he saw Saul, Shaul HaMelech turned, he inflicted great damage. So Shaul HaMelech did not inherit a kingdom. He did not inherit an effective armed forces. And he didn't necessarily have a cohesive strategy of how he was going to unite all the tribes of Israel. And in fact, he didn't really unite all the tribes of Israel. It wasn't until David HaMelech comes along that the nation of Israel becomes forged as a solid entity, and that the Commonwealth of Israel rises to the great prominence that it experienced during the period of Shlomo HaMelech. That only comes during the time of King David. So what exactly was Saul's strategy? How did he function? What was his military strategy? The answer was, he was like a guerrilla. He didn't have guerrilla warfare. He didn't have an exact strategy. How is it? Capture this area, consolidate, capture that area, and then slowly bring it together. It's like wherever there was an enemy, he attacked. He simply seized the moment, exploited the weaknesses of his enemies, and succeeded in battering and oftentimes destroying the enemies of Israel. So this is like a wolf-like, these are wolf-like phenomena. Excuse me.
excuse me. I'm not going to go into the Babaker Yechalad. We don't have time. But just to give you a little bit of a deeper background before we go on to better understanding this, Rashbam says that Shaul was always victorious. But Shaul was victorious not because he had a strategy, but because he just seized the moment. Every moment was like, every single moment was individual. One didn't necessarily lead to the other. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, the Chizkuni, and others emphasize that Yehuda also has the imagery of an animal that's evoked. What animal?
The lion.
The lion. So the lion is, the lion doesn't run after his prey per se. The lion is very sedate. The lion is very majestic. When he's got to go eat, he does what he has to do. But the lion is not like a wolf, like a jackal, like seizing the moment. He says Shaul did not have the majestic appearance that David HaMelech was able to cultivate. He did not have the staying power of David HaMelech establishing a house of royalty. Shaul HaMelech was like an on the spur, on the spot, do what has to get done. And therefore, the animal that he's metaphorized is as a wolf. Or as the Ohr HaChaim explains, Shaul did everything he did with great haste. In Yiddish, we call it chappen. His expression in Yiddish, chapnish can hasten luction. When somebody's doing something too quickly, it says, don't chap. You know, you see when the children are really, really hungry, and then you serve them a bowl of hot macaroni, and they kind of swallow it whole, and then they're burning their throat, and it's not healthy to eat like that. So there's an expression in Yiddish, chapnish hasten luction. Don't try to grab it too quickly. Like, take it in its time. Don't seize the moment that way. But that was exactly what Shaul did. He didn't wait, for example, for Shmuel HaNavi to tell him, now attack Amalek. He knew there was something that had to be done. He attacked Amalek. He did what he had to do right away. And because that was the case, he was metaphorized as the wolf. So what does this mean, and what can we learn from this? When we talk about the fact that in the tribe of Binyamin, there was this chapping-like reality. So here there's a beautiful teaching from the Rebbe, based on a statement that's made in the Bereishis Rabbah. When you look at the Bereishis Rabbah, it sounds rather odd, and almost it doesn't seem to resonate at all. It's Pes Shin Nun Beis, Simen Chav Dalet. So the Bereishis Rabbah puts it this way: Mahazeh v'yachaytif, just like the wolf prayed, chapped, grabbed, kachay hamizbeachaytif is a kabbonis. The altar, the Beis Hamikdash, was like a wolf. It also grabbed offerings. Baboiker yechol ad, in the morning it ate. That refers to the yearling sheep that was brought in the morning. Ula erev yechalik shalol, and in the evening it divided the prey. This refers as a keves hasheni tasabein harboim. That refers to the daily offering that's brought in the evening, in the afternoon. It's like a medrash that doesn't seem to speak to us. Want to know what it means that the wolf grabbed in the morning and the wolf and he eats his spoils in the afternoon? The Mizbeach has offerings brought in the morning and the Mizbeach has offerings brought in the afternoon. What does the Mizbeach have to do with a wolf? You ever see a movie Mizbeach? You ever see a Mizbeach that grabbed anything? Whatever you put in the Mizbeach consumed. When do you see anything wolf-like? What does that mean? So the Rebbe explains in the following way. B'kesher la'ashvah azu bein Mizbeach, with regard to this unique metaphorization, this comparison between the Mizbeach, between the altar, and which was in the portion of Binyamin, incidentally, because Binyamin had like a little peninsula that jutted into the territory of Yehuda. Yerushalayim is territory of Yehuda, it's Ir David, and yet the actual site of the Mizbeach, portion of the Beis HaMikdash, was on property, territory that belonged to the tribe of Binyamin. So Binyamin's territory jutted in like a little peninsula that was actually on Benjaminite territory. So Binyamin, who had the Mizbeach in his territory, is compared to the concept of a wolf. So with regard to this, Mitzayin Admurat Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe that Tzemach Tzedek compares this to the words of the Mechilta on the Pasuk Zacharas Yemashavas Lakache. The Pasuk says, with regard to, in Aseres HaDibros, in what the world calls the Ten Commandments, we call the 10 statements that Hashem made at Har Sinai, you should remember the day of Shabbos and keep it holy. What does it mean to remember it? Remember the Alamo? What do you have to remember?
You don't keep Shabbos, just remember it. What does it mean to remember it? So we know it means that you have to verbalize. That's the idea of making Kiddush, making Avdallah. But the Mechilta says something different there. The Mechilta says, Zocher Milafonav. Zocher means remember the Shabbos before it comes in. Don't remember me after I come, says Shabbos. Remember me before I arrive. Shomer, watch me, keep me, guard me. That's the second version of the Aseres HaDibros that's found later in the book of Deuteronomy. Mila Acharav. That's at the end. So you remember Shabbos before it arrives. You watch and guard the Shabbos after it arrives. And then the Mechilta finishes off. Mikan Omro, from here we said, Mesifin Mechil Ala Kodesh. From here we could see that a person should add from the weekday into the holy day. Which means we take a part of the mundane and we make it holy. We're supposed to accept the Shabbos a little bit early. We're supposed to welcome the holiness of Shabbos and accept it upon ourselves before the sun actually sets. And the Medrash finishes off, Mashal Zaev. This is like metaphorized as a wolf. Shahyatayiv Milafanav Milachrav. The wolf who tears, who prays before and after. Fight them with the wolf. What does that mean? Now making Kiddush is like a wolf. How does the wolf keep getting this billing? Wherever you look, he's getting billing. The Mizbeach billing, the wolf gets billing. It's a wolf. The Mizbeach is a wolf. Shabbos, making it. Yep, Shabbos is a wolf. Well, the Fiha Amor, according to what we said, Shamizbeach Nimshal is Zaev, that the Mizbeach itself is metaphorized as a Zaev, Yeshleimar, the Rebbe now is linking together all these different disparate teachings, seemingly disparate. A teaching in Bereshis Rabbah that teaches us about the Mizbeach, the way we understand the wolf here in the Chumash, where Rashi and other Mefarshim talk about it. And then this business of Shabbos, it's all being linked together. The Rebbe says the Tchuna here is the essential point. The essential point is that we talk about Hisafa Mechola LaKodesh. We're talking about adding. We're talking about taking something that was not naturally endowed, something which is not naturally in place, meaning it wouldn't inherently be holy, and we're grabbing a little extra. Ever hear the expression? You give somebody a finger, they grab a hand. When it comes to holiness, that's what we should do. You get a finger, grab a hand. That means to be like a wolf. It means that we should add, like the Ze'ev, who's Teref Milfanov Milachrov. And this is also found by the Mizbeach. Where do we find this? By the Mizbeach. But if in Klali, generally speaking, when do we bring offerings? Offerings have to be brought, it says, B'yoyim Dafka, by day. As Chazal taught us, B'yoyim Tzavoysoy. B'yoyim Tzavoysoy means that offerings, korbanot, have to be brought during the day, specifically. The afal pichen, and despite this all, matzinu shtei avodes, we find two things that are done with the Mizbeach prior to the day's beginning. What do you do before the day begins? Trumas Hadeshen. We remove the ashes. And that's part of the avodah. A kohen does that. In different clothes, but it's part of the avodah. And then Belaila, at night, when day in the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to have come to a close, what do? We have something called Hekter Chalavim Veivarim. Anything which wasn't burnt, consumed in the Mizbeach during the day, can now be consumed at night. As long as the process was began before, it can be continued. In other words, the Shabbos begins when the day begins. When does the day begin? Actually, we don't know. Maybe when the sun goes down, maybe when the sky clears of light. Fine, take a little extra Shabbos in the beginning. Okay, but if you started Shabbos from when the sun went down, for sure Shabbos should end when the sun went down. No, Shabbos we're going to keep until the stars come out. And somebody, people tell you, no, not good enough. We're going to go now according to the Tzeizek Chavar Rabbeinu Tam. Now we're going to go the extra. Always adding extra. Somehow always grabbing the Shabbos before Shabbos really arrived. Adding onto the Shabbos when Shabbos didn't really end. Or what seems to have already ended. And the same thing with the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is supposed to function, it's a day thing. It's a day thing. Offerings are brought during the day. And yet, somehow, when it comes to the Mizbeach, we have activities that go prior to the day. And then the activities that linger on long after the day has ended. This, the Rebbe says, is the tchuna. This is the nature of the wolf. This is what we're supposed to be learning from. Teirev Mufanov Malachirev. Even though the time is during the day, the Mizbeach is a wolf. Why? Because it grabs. Grabs what's not naturally his. So too with Shabbos. This is the gift of the tribe of Binyamin. As we say, there's an expression that goes, Chatoifa achoil, chatoifu shasi, the Gemara says. Grab and drink, grab and eat. Just grab. Grab on the run. What does this mean in our day and age? A person might say, you're going to have this extra stringency. You're going to do this, holy roller stuff. You're not there yet. You'll slowly fill in the rest of the things. Then you'll do these extra details of Yiddishkeit. But actually, that's not the Binyaminite approach. The Benjaminite approach
is that just grab, seize the moment. Anything you're doing that's holy, anything you're doing which is good, anything which is in the scrimmage of the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, it's a good thing. It doesn't fit into a rhyme and reason. It doesn't line up perfectly with a strategy. So be it. The important thing is to grab and seize every moment as it comes and do the best we could do. And when we live with Binyamin's brachas of seizing the moment, this is really what it is. The wolf seizes the moment. You seize the moment. Grab whatever you can. Hopefully, we're going to be zeicha, we'll merit to see the third Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in its rightful place in that little peninsula that juts out from the territory of Binyamin. Amen.